To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation. I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ.
The Book of Jude, living in apostate time. Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, today on Abounding Grace, we begin a study in the book of Jude. Jude is a book that is warning us of the problem of apostasy. The New Testament shows us and warns us of this everywhere, that the church will face the problem of savage wolves coming in and destroying the church's doctrine and wanting to harm people. The call in the book of Jude is to contend earnestly for the faith. The problem is most Christians don't take that call very seriously. We become nice people. We have not been willing to count the cost in calling out error in the church, mainly because today we live in one of the most biblically illiterate eras ever in the history of Christianity. Well, the book of Jude helps us with this to give us battle plans. It helps us to be able to think and how to go forward in apostate times. And I think this is a great help for the church today as we see so many shifts in society and in the church, that we would take seriously the call to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. We read all of your correspondence, and 100% of your support goes to continue to take Abounding Grace Radio to major population bases in the U.S., in Canada, and throughout the continent of Africa. Just to encourage you, we just now are beginning to air in the Denver area. So the Lord has opened a door for the gospel, and we continue to go through that door as the Lord provides the resources. Well, here is the program now from the little book of Jude, which I have called A Clear and Present Danger, that you can find right online at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. I had it in my mind when I believed that I was being set apart to write an epistle and speak as it would be drafted, to write about salvation. I wanted to talk gospel. I wanted to. This is what I wanted to get to. This was always put in the apostles' hearts and in the writers' hearts of the New Testament. Here, this particular man, Jude. They always wanted to talk about the gospel. They always wanted to talk about Jesus and common salvation that we have. That's the note we always want. That's the way we want to go. That's the heart of what we want to talk about. That's the goal of what Paul said, "Woe is me if I don't preach it." In fact, he says, I had all sorts of enthusiasm for that. That's the word here. I was enthusiastic to write about salvation. I was zealous to do so. But, I realized that what I'm seeing happening right now, none of that will really matter if we don't do something else first. We won't even have a common salvation to talk about if we don't do something else. See, this little book becomes really important in the New Testament. If something else is not pressed home, something immediate, something that we don't get heart to heart with about that's going on, it's not going to matter. I'm not going to be able to write about common salvation very long. See, I found it necessary to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He had sat down and would speak, and you know, and as these epistles came to us, they would have a writer who that was spoken, it was drafted. He had a certain group of Christians in mind, but this little epistle became a circular letter that went to all the churches, and he was ready to tell them about what Jesus had done, a happy, upbeat letter, but he says, I was compelled, I have a burden, I've got to get off my chest. That's the sense of this. Something is painfully at work. I remember this is early on. Early on. Something's painfully at work. That's undermining our whole cause. And people don't take that seriously. I want to talk to you then about contending earnestly for the faith. That's what we call polemics. Polemics, a strong refutation of error. Why? Because the very faith, once for all delivered to the saints, is under attack. Now, Jude says it was once for all delivered to the saints. When he talks about faith here, he's not talking about justification by faith. The receiving of Jesus. He's talking about the deposit of Christian truth, the Christian faith, the deposit of what we believe that's been given to us, a faith, a belief system, once for all delivered to the saints. God gave us a deposit of truth in this age. He has given to his church one deposit of truth. I told my father-in-law I was preaching this. He goes, oh, Jude, everyone loves Jude 4, verse 4. Contend for the faith once for all delivered. And he said, you know, Albert Martin used to say about that all the time. And I thought, this is really interesting what he said. He said, Albert Martin used to say that is the verse to prove that it's a faith once for all delivered, and therefore anyone who comes along after that and delivers something else is false. And it just is such an important point. Every cult, ism that is wrong, that has delivered something else other than the deposit is false. There's one deposit. There's one deposit that's been handed to us. One deposit of faith, of the faith, the Christian faith, that is able to make you wise for what? Salvation. So he's working from this, and the heart of it all then comes down to this call. You have to contend for this. It's a word that uses athletic imagery to convey a hard, strenuous effort to fight for something. I was fascinating to know that, you know, people who go into the Olympics and they go in and they train hard to work to go into the Olympics. They don't just love their sport. They're competing in it. They live in it. They live to accomplish something. And they dedicate their whole lives to it. And this is the language that he's using here when it comes to the faith. This is the kind of strenuous effort that we have to give to hold on to it. But we don't think this way. Strenuous effort. It's hard in our day because what it means is that you have to be willing to say something's wrong. that's almost becoming nearly impossible in our day. And it's as if what Jude is saying to us, and we're contending for the great reason here, and then he begins to explain that great reason of why we have to give ourselves to contend in verse 4. For certain men, certain people, have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I wanted to talk about grace. I wanted to talk about salvation, but guess what I'm witnessing? Here's what they're doing to our message. Here's what they're doing to our message. They are taking that message of grace and gospel and forgiveness and substitutionary atonement, everything that we believe, ungodly people, and they're turning it into sensuality and denying our master. He's saying that they've taken grace and made it now moral license or immoral license of lustful indulgence to go do whatever they want. And they say, Jesus is okay with that. He died for us. He set us free. You know what that's called, right? It's antinomianism of the worst kind. Against all moral law. Peter picks up on this. He fleshes it out a little bit more. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. This is not there might be. There will be. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. That's the heartbreak of it all, right there. Many will follow their sensuality, guided by whatever their hedonistic lives want. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Both Jude and Peter use their profession. They're saying, we're bought. Jesus bought us. And they bought us so that then we can go out and do what we want. Whatever we feel like doing, whatever we want to do with our bodies, whatever makes us happy. And the craziness of it all is, it's justified by false teachers. It's accepted. It's taught. Now, you think we're living in a time like that? It's always been a time like that. It was a time like that in the first century. But this is getting really hard, beloved, in a culture that demands now that we accept their behavior. This is getting really hard in a culture that doesn't just demand it, it requires that we celebrate it. And what is the church doing? Lo and behold, at this very moment, we have hosts of false teachers rising up who now, from the pressure of the culture, accept this. You know, I have to be really honest here and say, what I feel like right now is I've already been silenced on the homosexual agenda. What do I mean? Well, when we used to say it, you know, at least the culture was somewhat against it. But now if we say it, it sounds so, there you go, hitting on that one sin again. And you feel absolutely silenced on it. So that now that issue you want to zip up and not talk about. And that's how what's constantly pushed and pushed and pushed so that we can't talk about certain things anymore. And false teachers come in at this moment and then they begin to push back the other way and say, it's acceptable. This is the challenge. How in the world do you contend earnestly for the faith in this? It's a kind of perfect storm right now in Christianity when biblical illiteracy is at its all-time high, and we've been told for years that doctrine is just dividing, and combined with a lowest common denominator Christianity that could ever be created so that there are no longer doctrinal standards. This is what happens. This is what you open the door for. And if you question it, you're called mean and bigoted and hated. It's hard. How do you speak the truth in love in that environment? I want to. The encouragement is the battle has always been going on. And he's going to take us through history to show us this. That's what Jude is going to do. It's going to help us with that to see what happened in the past and how to think through it in the present. And I want you to think about the magnitude and devastating effects, Jude is going to say, of apostasy throughout history and how the church dealt with it, how God dealt with it. But for now, he says, here's what you have to realize. Here's the hard part to it. Certain men have crept in. They've wormed their way in. It'd be bad enough if we're just dealing with it out there, right? But that's not what he's saying. The hard part to it all is he's saying the battle most often lies within our own doors, within our own communities, among our own people. That's what's hard. And that's where he's going with this. I've often thought when Paul was leaving Ephesus, the motion that comes out of that passage is just striking. Listen to this. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, listen to this. So they're going to come in. Then he says this. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, this is Jesus' language everywhere, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with what? Tears. I cried about this. You know, I don't think I've done much crying about this in the life of this church. If anything, I have been upbeat and all positive, haven't I? Well, you might disagree with that. I don't know. I think I have. But I have not cried enough about this. Shame on me. Paul was so concerned about it. He says, the ministry for 3 years I was with you came with warning and tears because this is going to happen. It has always been Satan's strategy. From the beginning, the arch enemy came into the garden, wormed his way and slithered his way into the garden. And the first question was, did God say? It always has come down to the word. It always has come down to the revelation of God. It always has come down to what he's told us. And the first major apostasy happened in the Garden of Eden. Departure from the faith. That's how it all started, beloved. Consequence, the entire human race was swept into it. Defection from the word of God. Devil's always working. You come to 1 Timothy 4, it's all over the New Testament. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, refusing to marry, comes down to marriage again. It's all over. I know this is not what we like to hear. I don't like to hear it. But we enter Jude and we understand it's one of the most pastoral books in the New Testament. Jude is saying, you can't, here's what I'm saying at the beginning, what Jude is saying. You can't treat people who undermine your faith and the word of God lightly. And that's what we do. What he's saying. So you say, what do you want us to do, Pastor? Right? What do you want us to do? Well, I'll give you a few thoughts, and then this book hopefully will help us through that. Listen to Paul in 1 Timothy. Understand this. This is the first thing. That in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, perilous times, dangerous seasons. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. You just see this all the time, don't you? Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep in. Do you hear that? Among them are those who creep into houses. Same principle. Then he goes on to say this, but as for you, this is so important, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God himself. This is the effect of that. And it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I'm reminding you of your sincere faith that's been handed to you. There it is again, the deposit. A faith that first dwelt, Timothy, in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure dwells in you. You see what he just did? All this bad stuff's happening. All this stuff's rising up from among us. But first thing, you hold on tight to everything you know and have been taught. Hardest thing to do. Hold the deposit. Believe the deposit. You've had a lot of instructors in your lives. you've had parents who've loved you and trained you. You have teachers that God's, look at this morning, Barnabas's. You know what's been handed to you. Hold that deposit. Continue in it. I loved a question we got at the elders meeting the other night. What's your goals in this church for the future? And we all sat there for a minute. It's a good question. And I said, to continue in everything we've been handed. That's one of our greatest battles today. Ministry has to be primarily positive. At times you need to do polemics. That's what we're doing in this series. But it has to be primarily positive. For what reason? So that when the truth is continually put before you, constantly and constantly and constantly and constantly, then you see the error. That's how counterfeit money people know to see the error. They don't just show them the bad money. They keep running the true right in front of them so that when it comes, finally, there it is, there it is, there it is. And that's what we're doing. That was this morning. Be willing to test the spirits to see whether they be of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Listen, Jesus told us, they don't come to you saying, hey, right here, false prophet. They don't do that, do they? They come to you in sheep's clothing. So you have to know the truth and decide and be a Berean and say, that is the word of God or it isn't. That's why you have to know the scriptures. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're wolves, ravenous. And he says, you know how you're going to know over time a wolf? What's the fruit that has come out of their lives and their labors? Has it produced this licentious living? Is it promoting that? Look at the fruits. Do they stand for anything? What are the fruits in their lives? Third, if it's wrong, be willing to say so. That's the hard one, isn't it? If it's wrong, be willing to say so. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. That's what's at stake, 2 Peter 3:17. Now, I come back to where we started. We'll stop. I wanted to talk about salvation. I wanted to do that tonight. I wanted to come here tonight and talk to you about the gospel. That's in all pastors' hearts. But what good will that do? If that whole plan is being undermined and it always goes unchecked and people never contend for the faith, that paves a way for the purity of the gospel to be corrupted and never be heard. Thus, this is a very needful book in the New Testament, isn't it? A gospel contending. May the gospel of Jesus Christ that has saved and rescued you and done everything for you now called you to the newness of life. Give us all hearts today then to care about it, to care about the people next to you, and to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to all the saints.
to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.